opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, 9/11, a very tragic day in our history, 19 years ago today. 7:05 in the morning, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Jared. Jared, it's good. Right now, we've got Jim from Haven Humane, we've got Carl, and we have Jared. This is an all-male show. This, you know how unusual this is? Yesterday, I said something, and I had four women in here. And I said, well, I'm right all the time. Well, you would have thought that I had thrown a skunk on the table. They laughed. I said, okay, maybe not all the time. Anyway, buddy, what's the weather look like, and do you have any fire updates?
Well, right now it is 55 degrees, and it's going to be hazy pretty much through Monday. Today is going to be a high of 91, a low of 64. Saturday is going to be a high of 93, a low of 59. On Sunday, we have a high of 92, a low of 60, and on Monday, a high of 91 and a low of 59. As far as fire updates go, do you want all the fires, Carl?
No, just give me the ones that are.
Well, it looks like the SCU Lightning Complex, which I think was the one in the Bay Area, which has burned almost 400,000 acres, is now 98% contained, which is good.
Okay.
We have another one at LNU Lightning Complex, which has burned 363,000 acres and is 95% contained. And the next biggest one is the North Complex Fire, which is 244,000 acres and is only 23% contained.
I heard earlier that there's one fire. It's like the complex is like over 700,000 acres down. I think that's down in the more in the Napa and those areas down there.
No, I think that was the SCU was complex.
Wow.
Which is 400,000.
Anyway, this is not going away, and air quality index is still unhealthy today. If you have problems, if you have health problems, if you have lung problems, if you have asthma, that's why, you know, thank goodness Sue has jumped out into her car and is driving away to get out of this. This is crazy. Anyway, thanks, Jared. And the the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that has been in the business 23 years and has just the highest accolades for their service and the way they treat their customers. They give discounts to seniors and veterans. They deliver in tough places. Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. So I'm here with Jim from Haven Humane. I think it's Jim. He's got a mask on.
But, yeah, it's me.
Okay, he's got a name tag, so I'm just making sure. And you've got Lily.
Lily, yes. Very excited dog.
Yeah, well, you can, you know, Lily is happy to be out today.
Yes, she is. She wants nothing more than to be with people and be the center of attention the entire time.
She's very friendly. Came over and sniffed and licked.
Yes.
She sniffed my hand, licked it, you know, checked out my shoes.
Exactly. Yeah, she's very friendly. She's, hold on, I'm getting pulled. She's a great family dog. She loves kids. She was in our camp, Love a Pet.
Uh-huh.
Just wants to play, looking for a super active family, most likely, who is going to just make her like the very center of their attention. She followed me all around the lobby today. I just called her name and she'd come to me. But
50 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, probably 50 to 60 pounds. Beautiful brindle color.
Yeah.
really, really sweet face. And like I said, she just wants to please people. She pulls a little on the leash, but if you stop walking, she stops, turns around, comes back to you, and asks you what you want.
Yeah.
When you take the next step, she pulls again. But, you know, she's getting there.
You can work. Yeah, but, you know, you can work that out with a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Those
yeah.
things are pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
But the thing is that she is real friendly. She loves kids, like you said. Does she get along with other dogs?
Yeah, she does. She gets along with other dogs. Probably want to chase a cat or two, but, you know, that kind of stuff we
can
work out
also. So we're not sure about cats, but she does get along with other dogs. She's not aggressive. She's friendly. She is a bundle of energy. So if you're looking for a couch potato, this is not your dog.
No.
But if you got a couple kids and you know, in a backyard and like to go for walks, she'd be right there with you.
I think she's a perfect dog for Redding and the rest of the North State with all our lakes and mountains and everything else around. She's the kind of dog that's just going to follow you around anywhere you go. So any active outdoorsy type families,
she looks like part of a shepherd cross, even though she's short hair, but her face looks kind of shepherdy.
Yeah, that's what we have her described as a shepherd.
As a shepherd.
That's probably
okay. Yeah. Because, you know, she doesn't have a pity look. She has she does have a brindle color, but that face is a German shepherd.
Yeah, for sure.
Really another nice dog.
Yeah.
And how are y'all doing for dogs? Are you starting to get more in now? Because for a while there, you were about empty.
Yeah, we are starting to fill up now, starting to try to get them out a little faster because they're starting to come in a little faster again. But it's not too bad. We're handling it.
Good. Yeah. How's the kitty population?
Kitty population is still incredible. We're still in kitten season, still getting kittens in, still getting pregnant moms in and that kind of stuff. So now's the time if you're looking to adopt a cat or a kitten.
You know, my friends, getting your cat neutered is really a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to have I want to have a litter because I want to have some kittens. Okay, then do it. And then you've got your cats.
Well,
now get them neutered.
Yeah, and I'd say if you want a kitten, just come to wherever you are. Come to your local shelter. There's kittens. Yeah. You don't need to have kittens with
your
cat.
You don't need to have kittens with your cat. You can come down and always get two.
Yeah.
Always get two kittens because they will keep each other company. And I tell you what, kittens are, you know, puppies are cute. Mm-hmm. But kittens are cute, too. They do the strangest things. And then they act like it never happened.
Yeah.
They will do something that would be embarrassing to a dog. And the cat just kind of looks around, see if anybody's watching, and walks off.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I try to make a cat feel guilty about anything.
Yeah,
can you do that?
I've never been able to do it.
I've never seen anybody that can make a cat guilty. Not even look guilty.
I've said some pretty insulting things to my cats, and never once have they looked embarrassed.
Yeah, you know what? You've just torn up this whole roll of toilet paper. Toilet paper is $12 a roll, and you've just,
That's
put
right.
it all on the floor. And the cat looks at you, with that look like.
Yeah,
and
with pride.
with pride. Yes. Yeah. You know, I see these things about. If you have a cat, this is the way you put your toilet paper on. Because if you put it on this way, it will completely unroll it. And this way, it will just keep turning it. So, hey, any other thoughts here before you run out to your next
Yeah, literally going to be running, I think, to my car with Lily here. No, just come on down. We're still doing everything by appointment. So please give us a call ahead of time. Get us on Facebook. Get us through email. If you don't know the number already, 241-1653. We're booking appointments left and right. So please give us a call and come adopt somebody.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah.
Good luck, Lily. Okay, Lily is in here groaning. Can you hear that? Anyway. Okay, hey, look, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business, gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments, so you give them a call at 244-9478. Everything there is sanitized in between. I mean, it is absolutely the safest place you're ever going to get a haircut. Maybe even, they could do surgery in there. It's pretty clean. Man's last stronghold. 7:14 in the morning here on September 11th. We'll be right back. I know you know it's true. I've got to put the phone down and do what we gotta do. One standing in the highway, two more at the door. We got to get inside there before they kill some more. Time to run out.
join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 17th for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas goes directly to supporting Turtle Bay's educational programming. To learn more or donate online, visit turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Real people, real winners, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play offer in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday offers from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match them up to $100 in free play. And to sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. One birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Free slot play limited to $100. Real people, real winners. You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come and explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Our friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. More games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. No one else in town offers this. For all the table games details, download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is open for safe, outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute, we'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at
Welcome
night
back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl Linda Bond, Linda's on assignment this morning. Today, 9/11, 19 years ago. And in the morning, where were you? Where were you on 9/11? I was at a conference. I had retired from the Marine Corps by that. At that point, but I was at a conference, a Marine Corps conference. They had asked me to come to that. And I literally woke up that morning, and it was in, of all places, like down in Palm Springs or Palm Desert or someplace. And they had Marines from all over the country were there. It's just more of a specialized group, but they were from all over the United States. And I was getting up that morning, and I'm looking at the TV, and you know how things don't register on you right away? And I watched this, and I was kind of watching it and getting ready. And then I looked at it again, and I thought, that's not someplace else. And, of course, that was the attacks on the towers on 9/11. That day, 2,977 people died. The night before, if you think about it, 2,977 people probably had dinner, maybe spent the night with their you know, family. Maybe they were out in the town. It was New York. But every one of them, and was a... had no idea that the next morning terrorism was going to strike the United States the way it did. 2,977 people died, and of course many of those were first responders. Linda and I had the honor to go to the 9/11 memorial back in New York a couple years ago. And it is, if you ever get a chance to do that, please do that. The museum there is filled with, what can I say, debris from the attack, photos, pocketbooks, letters from people that were killed that day. One photo of people racing down the stairs on one flight of stairs, and the fireman, a young fireman, and maybe it struck home because he looked a lot like my nephew, who is a fireman, and a first responder, and here he was coming up these stairs, and you know, I mean, there's smoke, the place had been hit by the plane, destruction, death, and here are these firemen climbing these stairs, trying to get to people so they could help. And then, of course, the towers collapsed. And it's not over yet. There were 25,000 people injured that day. 10,000 first responders and others from that area, from that day, that were in that area, have been diagnosed with cancer. The estimates of more people dying from exposure from that day than the attack, it's going to happen because of, what asbestos, the dust that got into people's lungs, but more people are dying from the 9/11 tragedy than will probably have died in that attack that day. Another aspect of it was 40 people in Flight 93. They were heading to the West Coast when the four terrorists took over the plane. Well, these people, the attacks had already happened. These people knew about it at this point after they had taken the plane. They knew what had happened. They knew they had been crashed into the World Trade Center. The passengers, and they actually have some of the recordings from the cockpit from the terrorist in there, including their probable murder of the flight attendant, who was up there in the front with them, as they used as they threatened death for everybody on the plane, and they got inside the cockpit. As you know now, that things have changed, that you will never get into the cockpit, and many of the cockpits, the pilots are armed now. The Israelis learned that a long time ago. You don't negotiate, you don't let anybody into the cockpit. If they have a bomb, then they're going to have to explode the bomb. But they are not going to take hostages. They are not going to take the plane. Anyway, the plane turns and heads back, and it was going for the U.S. Capitol. They've had, from people they've captured after this, of course, during this war on terror, and people that were involved in it, their target was the U.S. Capitol. And you know what? Americans. Here they are. They're calling people. They're calling their families. They know what's happening, and they realize that what's going to happen. And being Americans, they voted. Did you know that, Jared? That they voted about whether they should try and take the plane over. Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not know that. And I should, but they voted on whether to take that plane back. And the vote was, yeah, we're going to try and take this plane back. And as a famous line, let's roll, they went after the cockpit. They were using the beverage carts as battering rams. The fight was on. And in the cockpit recording, it says, no, keep going toward from the terrorists. No, let's keep going. And because the one flying it said, should we crash, or words to that effect. Nope, let's try to keep going. Well, by this time, the passengers were throwing, boiling water on the terrorists out there. They were fighting them. And at that point, the terrorists crashed, Flight 93, into Somerset County, Pennsylvania. 40 passengers, 4 terrorists killed. The the heroism of this group speaks for America. Speaks for America. Some of these people worked in the movie industry. They were well known in the industry out there. They were heading back to Los Angeles. Other people were just your normal businessmen and women, and of course the flight attendants, who were also part of the fight going back there. And this still brings shivers to my body to think they knew what was going to happen. They knew this plane was heading back. And if they didn't do anything, they were going to live a little bit longer, could have talked to their families a little bit longer. But they said goodbye, called their families and said goodbye and attacked. You know, if that doesn't touch you, I don't know if anything will. They weren't, probably... You could probably, if you just go by averages, many of them were not military. Maybe none were military. It was men and women that were in the fight. But it was the first attack back. You know, we talk about how then we went into Afghanistan and went after them. We eventually killed bin Laden. But the first attack by Americans against terrorists for that day, they went after them. They went after them knowing that they probably die, but they didn't sit there and let it happen. If you want to be proud of America, in which you should be, you know, this country is not a bad country. Do we have problems in this country? Yeah. But if some of these people would ever get out of their little mindsets of how bad it is here and go to other countries and actually see how bad it is, and they'd realize what a great country this is. Like I said, we're not perfect. But what a great country the United States of America is. And maybe today, everybody, that's out there thinking, oh, it's so bad, the president's bad, the Democratic Party nominee is bad. Maybe this is the day you kind of sit back and ease off that and think about how great this country is, all the great things the United States of America has done for the world, for its citizens. And take a minute and think about those 40 passengers on Flight 93 who said, I'm not going to go quietly. And being Americans, they voted. I love that part. They voted. And then they went for it. They rolled. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tell everyone I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly.
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the community fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Take the census today. For every person that isn't counted, Shasta County could lose up to $1,000 per year for the next 10 years. We know we can do great things when we come together and that there is power in our numbers. Do your part. Check your mailbox or front door for your paper form. You can also take the census by phone at 844-330-2020 or online at my2020census.gov. By taking a few minutes to fill out the 9-question confidential survey, you can help shape the future of our communities.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody out there. You know, today is such a fateful day in history for we, the people of the United States and the world, as it turns out. September 11th, 19 years ago, was the attack on the World Trade Center. And I just talked about in the last segment a little bit about Flight 93, and it was the first strike back at terrorists. It was that morning with 40 passengers that voted to take that plane back. On the phone, we have Dr. Paul DeNuca. Good morning, Dr. DeNuca.
Good morning, Carl. Hey, thank you very much for talking about 9/11, and what a beautiful words you had that how these people voted to sacrifice themselves to protect America and first strike against the terrorists. Me and my wife, we both were working in the hospitals near New York City. And my wife was actually working in New York City those days. And that was just surreal. It's left such an impression on us. And it proved to the world that the terrorists can take away some lives, but we can save lives. One of the scenes I remember is that there were long lines of people waiting to donate blood that day as the country came together. And it proved to us that when we say it's my country, it's not my property. It's not the country belongs to me. In fact, rather, I belong to the country. And I must ask, what can I do for my country? And that was such a perfect example of our country and the community coming together. And I just want to remind your listeners about that we need to keep that in mind, that my country is that I belong to the country. And what can I do for the country? And we must come together. An eagle needs both the wings to fly.
Yeah, so, whether it's left wing or right wing, it needs both.
is both the wings to fly. And this American Eagle must fly, must soar, even after all these disasters we face. And that's a reminder of 9/11.
Right. Now, there's something else that's happening today in memory of 9/11. You're having a blood drive. Many people are getting together. Half my staff is on their way down there to give blood today. And today in the 15th, people can give blood. We're in shortage of blood
in
this area.
That's inspiration from that. For that came to us from the long lines of people on 9/11 in 2001 when they were waiting in lines of like miles in New York City to donate blood. That's what inspired us to organize this blood drive. I just did mine. I just came from there, first one on the line. So get on there, donate the blood, love the country, do what we can for our country and each other. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Danuka. You're a great man.
Thank you.
With me today, it was a surprise phone call. I always like surprise phone calls. Most surprise phone calls. Some of them. Yeah. I'm here with Kevin Kelly, who is the general manager and CEO out there at Holiday Harbor. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Matt Doyle. Move in a little bit closer.
Oh, yes. Right, okay.
There. Matt Doyle, who, of course, is the general manager out there at the Shasta Caverns. And Matt was just on a couple weeks ago, right before he went down to the Board of Supervisors, where his eloquence that he showed here on the show, you know, during the breaks he's not as eloquent. You're on the show, on the air. Went down there and talked to the Board of Supervisors and actually got Shasta Caverns opened again.
Yes, unanimous decision by the Board of Supervisors.
Well, it was stupid.
Okay. And the health department too.
I understand, Dr. Ramsey. You know, but they didn't understand.
Correct.
And you tried to explain it to them in a 3-page letter, explaining why it shouldn't be closed. And your answer back was, and this is my favorite: we disagree with your findings.
Yes.
That was it. So anyway, but after you talked to them, they showed. And they showed the common sense, and they opened it up again.
Exactly. Well, you know, we had a proven record, a proven track record. We have the numbers. We have the statistics. And we were doing a great job. This past weekend, we had over 2,700 people, and everybody loved it. It was hot. You know, people were wearing masks, social distancing. We didn't do quite as many people as we could. But
let me tell you, I have friends that we went to dinner with them. It was over at their house that night. They were there that.
Oh, really?
And they had a great time, and you went from one tour guide to another.
Yep.
And what happens if you get lost? Keep turning right, and you will get out of here. Or left. Keep turning left, and you will get out of here. All right. Now, Kevin Kelly's here with Holiday Harbor, and you're slammed out there, as anybody can imagine.
We are super busy. It's crazy busy.
Now, how do you handle the boats in between? I mean, if my family goes out there, we take it for a couple of days, we come back in. You just don't let the next family get on.
Oh, no. We have a crew that comes on the boat and sanitizes the boat. We're using the latest and the greatest chemicals that are furnished by our janitorial company that says that this is the best thing to kill all the viruses on your boat.
It's safe.
Yep.
It's not going to cause problems.
We go from stem to stern. Pressure washing, wiping down all the walls, the pillows, everything.
Everything. Everything gets sprayed.
Yes.
Mattresses, everything.
Yes.
So you've been very... Of course, you've been very busy because people have been locked in. So where's a safer place? If it's not a cave, all right, in the bottom of the earth, it's got to be a houseboat.
Houseboat out on Lake Shasta. It's the best place to be right now.
Yeah.
And everybody's coming up. You know, they want to get out of the city. They want to get out of, you know, wearing a mask. They come up on the lake. They social distance. It is the best place to be.
But then yesterday... You know, I go back to Governor Newsom on that Newsom at noon that day when he shut down all the restaurants without a warning. I mean, just, you know, completely going against his own parameters, shut us down. Yesterday, something happened. Was it BLM? And we're not talking Black Lives Matter here. This is the Bureau of Land Management.
No, actually, it was Forest Service.
Forest Service. Yeah. Okay, it was the Forest Service. So what happened yesterday?
Well, we received an email and a subsequent phone call that the forest closure was also going to impact Shasta Trinity National Forest, and that it wasn't just a simple, hey, you can't start a campfire. It was, go out there, get the people off the lake, get them off the lands, and get them out of the area.
Okay, now we're okay. So, Kevin, this sounds okay. Okay, you want us to get our boats and all these people off the lake, and how long do we have to do it?
Yeah. Well, we had a phone conversation. We received that email about 1:30, and the closure was for 5 p.m. So by the time I got that document in my hand, I read it thoroughly. It was around 2:30, and so I called the Forest Service. I said, this is an impossible task. I said, we have 20 or more boats out there. You expect my staff to go out, try to find these people. Most of them will probably be intoxicated, and you want them to kick them off the lake. I said, it's not going to happen. I said, we'll make phone calls, leave them messages, but I can't put my staff in that situation. It's very dangerous, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I've got one of our chat room. They closed the lake down, too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so you were given 3 hours to get hundreds of people off a lake that's got a 346-mile shoreline.
365 miles of shoreline.
I would say thousands of people on the lake.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened then? I mean, I got a phone call from you yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And there was going to be a – you got people together quickly.
We did. This event, this closure, it caused great concern. Number one, it's unprecedented. We've had fires before, 2009, 2018, obviously.
2018 was quite the fire out
1998.
There. I was on the lake that year, and it was smoky.
Oh yeah,
but still had a great time.
Oh,
it was. I mean, I couldn't see across the lake
near the dam. Near the dam, the fire was on the shoreline. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fire was on the lake. Absolutely no closures. So why now, when the closest fire, major fire, is about 100 miles away, but now we're going to close down? What it came down to was resources. And this was an upper administration decision. This isn't local level, and I want that very clear. We've had our issues with the Forest Service in the past, but this is not a local issue. By the way,
this is Matt Doyle speaking right now.
Yes.
No, I've got Matt Doyle and Kevin Kelly here. So I want, you know, they both, you know, Kevin, of course, has Holiday Harbor, and Matt, the Shasta Caverns.
Correct. Okay. So this is an upper-level administration decision, and it's a blanket policy. We understand that there's limited resources, but once again, if they understood what happens on Shasta Lake, the businesses are the ones that take care of the lake. We're the ones that go out there. We set out the hazard markers. We're also the ones that raise the fish cages. We're also the ones that go out there early in the morning, put out the spot campfires from the drunk people that just left. We're the ones that enforce laws and make sure that lake stays safe. We know more about the lake than the Forest Service does. They might have the education, but we're on the ground day to day. We see the guests coming in. We know what's happening, and we know how to mitigate these issues.
And you've both been on. You've been on there since I think 2001. And Kevin,
1978.
Now Kevin started as a young person.
Just
there.
Just a little gas jockey.
A gas around. Jockey running around. What can I clean? What can I clean?
Yep.
You know, and now has risen to the point where you run the whole enchilada out there, and have for several years, many years. I'm going to take an early break because I want to talk about what happened in this meeting, with the Forest Service. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. It is a great place to shop. It's got everything from Native American jewelry to specially designed jewelry right there made by Henry, right there in the shop. It's open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. A great place, super people, and very good prices on their jewelry. We'll be right back.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%.
This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about windshield repair than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for a couple of decades. He's gone through all the schools. He provides quality workmanship on your windshields. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length, Jeff can fix that. Guarantees his work. He's not going to mess around with the safety of your family. You can give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment or stop by 3208 South Market Street. Jeff Wurst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. I'm here with Kevin Kelly, who is the general manager out there at Holiday Harbor, and Matt Doyle, who is the general manager out there at Shasta Caverns. And yesterday at 1:30, they got an email that said, close your business down, go out on the lake, and you've got till 5 o'clock to get everybody off a lake that's got 365 miles of shoreline, and boats everywhere. And so what happened when you saw that and you called and you said, hey, that's not going to happen. It's just too, it's too hard. So then what happened?
Well, when I got that email, I called the, local office here and voiced my opinion and said, this is what we're going to do. I understand the mandate, so on and so forth. So I got on the phone. I said, hey, Matt, let's see if we can get LaMalfa on the phone. He's got a good rapport with Doug. And, so I kind of put the ball in his court and said, let's go in for the fight.
Okay, so what happened, Matt?
So I reached out to Doug's office and requested that he at least listen to the situation, if possible, come up. And we have a lot of owners and managers that would like to discuss them about this particular issue. Fortunately, he was already up here. And was actually, we had Scott Russell in the area, who's our local guy. And Randy Moore, who I believe is the one that put the signature on this closure order for the Shasta Trinity. Mm-hmm. They were already having issues. This actually, with the resource issue, goes back several days and being addressed. And this was the result. They didn't have the resources. They didn't know what to do. And
well, if you know, because we've got like 15,000 firefighters out there. The largest fires we've had in California history, it appears.
Oh yeah,
and so they were worried about having people to be able to fight the fire.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so you got a hold of Congressman Doug LaMoffa.
Yes, and fortunately, he happened to be in the area. His crew got together, his entire staff. He was working with people in D.C. He hopped on it right away. Once again, it wasn't this particular issue. This is something that has been going on for decades between the businesses and the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. Because it's a federal issue, he hopped on it right away, and I was actually impressed. I just really wanted him to listen to our situation and detail the facts very clearly for him. Mm-hmm. But he not only did that, he actually made a decision on it. Now there's a lot of black and white still being, still drying on that as far as rescinding the closure order, which they are going to do. But he made a decision on it and he listened to us.
And so he was able to lean in and get a change.
Correct.
Okay. So Kevin, I heard, you know, last night I heard y'all, I was totally surprised because last time I had talked to you, it was like, we're having a meeting, but, you know, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what did the Forest Service do?
The Forest Service, my understanding, the regional forester, Randy Moore, mm-hmm. Had a conversation with Doug LaMoffa, and I guess Doug LaMoffa convinced him that it was a poor decision. So tentatively, they're supposed to rescind that order. I have not received an email as of yet, so I don't know what the parameters are going to be of that, mm-hmm. rescinding the email. If we have to file for an exemption, like from the get-go, we were supposed to file an exemption on the marinas, but the other campgrounds and the launch ramps were going to be closed to the public. But the Forest Service was going to give us an exemption.
Right.
Well, they retracted that by noon, unbeknownst to us. So we've already filed our exemption, but that was put the kibosh on that, and we were to close.
Okay, so we're talking about – okay, so what are they offering us? I heard the word waiver. Is that wrong?
Well,
I heard that word, but I'm not sure what context it was.
What it was a small form that you'd fill out, almost like a self-assessment form, saying, okay, yes, we do have these fire suppression abilities. We have these fire extinguishers. These are our exit routes. So kind of a small emergency plan, if you will. And what that does is takes the liability off the Forest Service saying, hey, you know, you can't be open unless you're really approved to be open, unless you're really safe. Well, once again, we do this all the time. It's not just the Forest Service we have to work with. It is all the other hundreds of different agencies. You know, there's some of us, like Kevin, the caverns in Holiday Harbor, we cannot leave the property. We are actually in control of a water system, and that has to stay open 24/7. We have to monitor it. And if we don't, there's big fines behind that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors at play.
So it sounds like they're going to give you a waiver, but you've got to kind of sign something that says, I understand the danger here. Is that kind of what it's going to be?
That's really what it was, an exemption. Release the liability from the Forest Service. And,
all right.
And, you know, there's other criteria. You know, we have, you know, not supposed to use a barbecue, you know, and we have fire extinguishers on our boat, and we have a, you know, an emergency evacuation plan filed with HUD and with the Forest Service and with the state of California. So it's just a plethora of agencies that we have to go through, and we pretty much furnish the same information from agency to agency.
You know, I'm just kind of a old slow Marine. But I can't help but think, if there's a fire out there, being on a houseboat in the middle of a huge, huge lake, you might be safer there, or in the bowels of the cave.
Yeah.
You might be safer there than you might be trying to drive down I-5.
Yeah. So that's one of our contingencies that I filed with the Forest Service, that if there's a fire and the road is blocked and we can't get out, one of our escape routes is going on a houseboat and right out in the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course. I mean, let's think about it. It's not going to – the lake is too big for it to jump out there to you, I would imagine. I want to make something clear here, everybody. This was not just the state. It was the feds, the Forest Service. And the reason behind it is because the fires are so horrendous in California all along the West Coast. But in California this year, they felt they didn't have enough reserves or enough firefighters and equipment to address a fire. But as Matt pointed out, the nearest one's around 100 miles away, even though the smoke has made it here. So that was their concern. So it wasn't primarily the state. This was the feds doing it. Congressman LaMalfa weighed in on it. And he was at that meeting yesterday.
Yes.
Which I was kind of surprised to see. You know, I knew you all were going, and you'd mentioned Congressman LaMalfa was going to be there. So as of today, you're open.
As of today, we're open.
And now, with all these fires going, your business is still going crazy.
Oh, of course,
crazy.
Yes.
But you've been very busy. And are the fires impacting on you at all?
No, actually the people are trying to get away from the smoke out of the city and get away from that. And one of the safe havens is Lake Shasta.
Well, like I said, I was out there when we had the camp and car fires and the ones burning around Shasta Lake. I mean, we had some smoke out there, but it was still a wonderful time. And you don't have that smoke layer out there at the lake. You've got a lot of wind blowing through that canyon through there.
Yeah. Well, and that piece of information is very important. So between COVID and the fires, people are coming to this area regardless. Now you've just shut down the entire national forest. Now you have thousands of people in the area with nothing to do. So what are they going to do? They're going to find their own tent camp spot, start their own campfire because they're not regulated. They're not being watched because nobody's on the lake. But their people are still there. The only thing we've been trying to do the past 8 months is mitigate these people coming to the area, giving them something to do, offering them an activity. That's all we're doing. If we pull back and we stop doing that, the people are still going to be here. Now they're unsupervised in the middle of a forest doing whatever they want.
Well, let's talk. We've got like 3 minutes left. Let's talk quickly. Are you seeing lots more out-of-towners coming in?
Oh, Kevin? Yeah. We're seeing a lot of people from Oregon. Just talked to a gentleman yesterday that we had to, Wednesday that we asked him to leave. He got evacuated from Oregon, and they've been on the road for.
Okay, so he was evacuated. So yeah. He came down.
Yeah, came down
for a month.
No, he's been in and around the area because got evacuated, and he's staying with his in-laws, and so they booked a houseboat trip and want to get out on the lake and. And now we have to send him home.
Well, not now.
He doesn't have a home to go to. So back to his in-laws.
Let's not forget that some people plan for a whole year to come up here.
Correct.
To the beautiful Northern California area. And I don't know how many people I've talked to that they live here because they every summer their parents would come up here on Lake Shasta. And so they saw how beautiful it was, so they moved here. And, Matt, you said the last time on the show you track zip codes, right?
Yes, we track zip codes. We're seeing people from all over the West Coast. Once again, San Diego to Seattle, we're getting them all here. And we have different demographics. I'm not sure about the harbors or the marinas, but we're seeing a new demographic.
Yeah.
And larger families. I think it's beautiful. We're seeing families travel like I have never seen. And I've been there at the caverns for 20 years. I think it's beautiful.
Well, I sure appreciate y'all coming in here. I know you're extremely busy, and now you're having to get all this work done on the waiver for the feds. But at least y'all fought. You know what? Y'all fought it. Mm-hmm. And Congressman LaMalfa, you know what? Bless him. He rolled in on this one, and he got this thing changed for us.
You know, after, especially with this year, the businesses hearing no's every single minute, it was nice to hear finally a yes.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Yes, you can continue to keep your business open mm-hmm. and keep your people employed and provide a outlet for people.
Correct.
Well, good luck, and let's hope that continues like this, and let's just kind of all sit down and pray that mm-hmm. the fires don't get down here to us. And but like I said, I can't think of a safer place to be than on Lake Shasta if there was a fire out there or in the caverns.
Yep.
I mean, probably if you're in the caverns, you may not even know it.
You come out
like, you know, 2 or 3 hours later, and you go, whoa. Anyway, hey, thanks a lot, Jens, for being here. And thanks so much for what you do for our community. You all support our community in so many different ways. All the fundraisers, you're always volunteering things. And I can tell you that you're not going to have a better boat trip than at Holiday Harbor.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you having us on today.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to be able to bring some happy news Yes.
However happy that is.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we've got Steve Morgan, Shasta County Supervisor, District 4, and a firefighter, a first responder.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Remembering those who were lost in the 9/11 terror attacks.
We mourn deeply for the nearly 3,000 precious and beautiful souls who were taken from us on September 11th, 2001.
President Trump speaking moments ago in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, honoring the heroes of Flight 93 on this 19th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mr. Trump paying tribute to those who overpowered the hijackers, keeping them from reaching their intended targets.
Together they charged the cockpit. They confronted the pure evil. And in their last act on this earth, they saved our capital. In this Pennsylvania field, the 40 intrepid souls of Flight 93 died as true heroes.
The president pledging that the U.S. will never relent in its pursuit of those who would do us harm. After the speech, the president and the first lady taking part in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Flight 93 National Memorial and at the World Trade Center sites in New York. A lone bell chimes at 8:46 a.m., the moment the first of two jetliners hit the Twin Towers. The names of the victims read aloud by family members. The Pentagon, the White House, the New York Stock Exchange also observing a period of silence this morning. Later today, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden will visit Shanksville. The wildfire that destroyed a foothills community northeast of San Francisco has become the state's deadliest blaze of the year, with 10 people confirmed dead in that California fire, 16 others still unaccounted for. Wildfires have forced 500,000 people to flee their homes in Oregon. Wall Street, the Dow up 203 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrorism.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. No one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
The Greek government says thousands of migrants left homeless after fires gutted a sprawling island refugee camp will not be allowed to travel to mainland Greece.
People are camping out in the car parks, in front of supermarkets, in front of petrol stations. And really, at the moment, they simply don't know when they're going to be moved into better places, better quarters, if you like. At the moment, the Greek authorities are saying they have secured a lot of tents for people, but there's a lot of controversy about whether there should be a new temporary camp on the island. Many of the islanders don't want that.
That's BBC's Bethany Bell. The number of people infected with coronavirus surging in the Czech Republic, setting a record for the second time this week. Health Ministry saying the day-to-day increase hit 1,382 on Thursday. News and analysis, townhall.com. A century of American art expected to fetch millions at auction.
Works depicting the American West and other items collected by the late Texas oil tycoon T. Boone Pickens are expected to sell for more than $15 million at an auction. Christie's Auction House will offer works ranging from Frederick Remington's 1900 piece, The Signal, to Howard Turkning's Flags on the Frontier from 2001. The auction is scheduled for Wednesday, October 28th in New York. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Consumer prices up last month, rising 0.4%, fueled at least in part by a dramatic 5.4% increase in the price of used cars. It was the largest monthly gain in that category in about 51 years. Once again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow up 237 points, the NASDAQ ahead 60, and the S&P is up 23 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Here it is, 9/11, 19 years ago today, we were waking up to attacks on the on our country that resulted in that day of 2,977 people being killed, 25,000 injured, and since then, due to the intake of all the dust for first responders and those in that area, the thousands are still dying. In fact, it will probably overtake the number of people killed that day. And if it hasn't already, in the next few months. So we all know what 9/11 means to everybody, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. But it's 8:06 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And we have Jared there. Give us an update on the weather, buddy.
It is currently 59 degrees, and it's going to be pretty hazy throughout the weekend and up to Monday. Today we have a high of 91, a low of 64. On Saturday we have a high of 93, a low of 59. On Sunday a high of 92, a low of 60. And on Monday a high of 91 and a low of 59.
Okay. Hey, weather reports brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, better known business out of Anderson, been in the business 23 years. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Well, I'm here with Steve Morgan, who is District 4 Supervisor running for re-election. And Steve
Tompkins.
Tompkins. Got it. Steve Tompkins. That's a tough name. Tompkins. I'll try to remember that since the Thomas family is in is one half of my family. It's Thomas's. So
pretty close.
I'll call you Steve Thomas later on. But okay, fine. I got Tompkins written down now. You know, Steve's running for re-election, but he's a veteran, and Steve came in here today as a first responder from the Reading Firefighters, and we want to talk about 9/11 and what happened there for the first half hour. So, and by the way, you owe somebody named Shakovich, who is one of our chat room guys, you owe him some money. He says that you look like me. So, a compliment like that. So Shakovich, come on down. He'll give you $5. He said in your ads, he said, is he your cousin? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But, you know, you never can tell. I don't know where your family's from.
Well, okay. We could go way back to
who knows?
The East Coast.
Okay. Steve, you're a veteran.
Yes.
Vietnam. Did Absolutely. You serve in Vietnam?
Yes, I did. I was over in the Bay of Tonkin on a submarine, and we had a good time over there, ha ha ha. But you know, it gets hot.
That I knew, Coast Guard, you know, auxiliaries, the river boats, the destroyers, everything out there, transports. I never thought about a submarine being there.
Well, at that time, they didn't allow the nukes in there because they only had a single screw and they couldn't maneuver in that shallow water. Where we had twin screws, we were shallow depth and we could operate in the water in there, and we were just keeping an eye on
everything.
You were
a diesel guy?
Diesel, old diesel boat.
I thought there's kind of like a sniff. There's kind of like this aroma of diesel,
yes.
Diesel fuel, you know. So
yeah, well, we'd come up once in a while, and we'd share, accommodations with a destroyer and that, and the guys would go over and they'd take their soap and towels and go over and have a shower over there, and we weren't allowed to have a shower because all the water was for cooking and for the diesels. And so you kind of
a little ripe. You didn't have water makers, or did they even have water makers?
Yeah, we did, but they were only good for 1,000 gallons a day. And you know, I mean, the diesels took a lot of water, and so did the cooking.
You couldn't use seawater on the diesels then.
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how they were designed.
You had to make it down, and then we had batteries that you had to keep topped off all the time, so that took a lot of water. So
is Commander Gibson your hero? Like he is mine? Commander Gibson.
So you could get a little towel, and you'd get a little fresh water, and
you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how you can wash yourself with a liter of water.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk 9/11.
Yes,
I talked a little bit about Flight 93, where the passengers, being Americans, they voted to see if they should take that plane back. And, of course, they all, yeah, we're taking the plane back. Mm-hmm. And it was the first attack against terrorism started that day
right. In
Flight 93.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, the fight against terrorism started that day. It was an offensive maneuver to take that plane back. And they knew what was going to happen. They knew that it wasn't going to make it, but they did not give up.
Nope, they didn't. And it was the start of something that I think that was very important that brought the country together. I don't think the country's ever been that close together. I think everybody was on the same page. Not today, but, you know, like today. But then everybody was on the same page for a long period of time, and I'm sorry to say that we're not that way today, and it's a shame.
It is.
We need to get back on that. But, you know, some of the important things that I think that the city of Shasta Lake has got a piece of the steel. And to this day, even though 19 years later, you can put your hand on that steel, and you can – there's something
yeah,
there.
And
that
the steel, by the way, comes from the World Trade Tower.
Yes, it
right.
does.
And just in case you're – if you're new or you didn't know that, there is a memorial to 9/11 out there with a piece of steel from the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Could I read a little piece about where the steel came from?
Sure.
Okay. Rod Lindsay was instrumental in the creation of the 9/11 memorial that is located at the Shasta Lake Fire Protection District's main fire hall. In the summer of 2002, with the first anniversary of the tragic events that occurred the previous year on September 11th, fast approaching, Rod, who was on the city council at that time, asked Shasta Lake city officials to reach out to New York City officials to find out how Shasta Lake could hold some sort of remembrance to those who had died on that fateful day. In response, New York City officials said that they would ship a piece of the World Trade Center to Shasta Lake, provided the city paid for shipping and found a spot to permanently display the item. Following that year's ceremony at the PUD baseball field, they found that permanent spot in front of the main Shasta Lake Fire Hall. Every year since then, Rod, along with local service clubs, organized the annual September 11th Candlelight Remembrance Ceremony, where he would serve as the evening MC. Unfortunately, Rod passed away recently, and this year's ceremony will not be held due to the COVID-19. And, you know, Rod was very instrumental in that.
Rod just passed away last week?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
And
you yourself was out at the memorial a couple different times giving a...
Yeah, the last speech I gave out there, they never invited me back when I talked about you can attack this country, but we will, if it takes us 10 years, we will kick in your door and kill you. I think that was a little bit strong for the
yeah,
committee.
True.
And they've never called me again since yeah. that, but I was kind of all fired up that day. Steve...
Tompkins.
I know. I got it right here. I wasn't going to use your name. Steve, you're a member of the Reading Firefighters.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a captain with the
city. Oh, you're captain with. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations thank you for what you do out there. Now, Steve, what's this day mean to you and your friends? I talked earlier about I've been to the 9/11 memorial and all the photos and everything, and one photo, which was so dramatic, was people racing down the stairs to get out. And here were the firefighters coming up, and it was a young man. He was looking up the stairwell, and they took his photo. Maybe it's because he looks like my nephew, who's a firefighter, by the way. And there's, you could tell there was some fear there, but he was still moving up the stairs. What does this mean to you all as firefighters?
The day itself, it takes me back. I was a firefighter at the time, with the city. And going back to that day, watching the destruction, very emotional. It took Redding Fire several days to, you know, regroup and to it's a family. So some of our family back on the East Coast has taken a blow. So we decided that we were going to send representation, just like every other agency that had personnel, back to the East Coast to help out, do what we could do.
Okay.
There was people from all over the state of California, well, every state, sent back teams of people to help with the rescue. By the time, due to us only having 60 people, we had to prioritize who was going back. So we contacted our brothers and sisters in New York and said, what do you need? And they asked for us to be a representation to help out the families because they had the people they needed to do the rescue. So we sent back our color guard. It's individuals that represented the fire community and our department, and sent them back, and they went to 2 to 3 funerals per day to support the families.
They presented the colors at the funerals.
They had other individuals, right, but the family needed to see the support. Over right. 400 first responders died,
yeah,
and that's a lot of funerals. That's just the safety people in that organization,
yeah,
that needed it. So they needed help. So they would respond. They would do marches. They would do whatever it took to support the families that lost their loved ones in the fire service.
Okay. Steve Tompkins, who is
captain
in the Redding Fire Department. Steve Morgan, 4th District Supervisor, is with me. We got to take a break. We're talking 9/11 here for the first segments of our show. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, another stand-up organization here in our town that's done a lot for our community. When the COVID hit, their work with the Paycheck Protection Program literally saved dozens of businesses, hundreds of jobs, and they were instrumental in getting millions of dollars out to businesses and to our community here to help. Bank Cornerstone, they are locally owned, local board of directors, and you can't ask for more. Two locations here in town at 1845 California Street and in the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. They are still moving dreams forward through all of this craziness that we've been experiencing over the last 6 months. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Steve Morgan and Steve Tompkins.
When you're standing on the edge of nowhere, there's only one way up. So your heart's got to go there. Through the darkest night, see the light shine bright. When heroes fall in love or war, they live forever.
Show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotions.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort.
Details at WinRiver.com.
You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio, in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers has stood up and expanded their work because of COVID-19, where people can't get out to help those that are in need. And because of that, Sharon Clark is looking for some more amazing caregivers, whether it's full-time or part-time. If this is something you think you might be interested in, give them a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. It's 8:19 in the morning. It's about 62 degrees, going up to 91 today. I have Steve Morgan, who is the supervisor for District 4, running for re-election, and Steve Tompkins, who is a captain in the Reading Fire Department. And thank you for being here, gentlemen. We're talking about 9/11. I was fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, to be in New York City soon after that. And I went by the fire station that was the closest to it. And out in front, they had lost everybody in that one fire station. And I don't remember the number. You may know what it is.
I don't know the
but
number.
But they had their photos out in front. Yes. But not only the ship that was on, but the other ships ran in to help. And I think they lost 90% of that station, as did other stations around in that area when the buildings collapsed on it. So they didn't back off.
No, that's what it is on a shift exchange, which is when the people are coming on and off duty. This just lined up for where the guys coming in, and they just continued to funnel into the towers trying to save as many people as they could.
Steve, where were you when this thing happened, when 9/11?
Well, I was down in the bowels of a U.S. Navy ship down in Pier 32, down in San Diego, and I was trying to finish up some work down there, and next thing I know, I had this Marine guard tap me on the shoulder and said, "Sir, pack your bag and get off the ship." And I said, "What? Why?" And they said, "Just get off the ship. That's it, period." And he had a long rifle on his back, and he had his pistol on his side, and I thought, "Oops, I don't think I'm gonna gumble with this guy." And so I went off, and the next thing I know, that pier was loaded with everybody and their brother, and we still didn't know what had happened. And they closed down the base down there. They shut down the border, and a lot of our guys lived over in Mexico, Tijuana area, and they couldn't get back home, so they wound up sleeping in the shop, and it was quite a time, you know, and we didn't really find out until I got home and turned on the TV and found out exactly what was happening about the...
How long were you in the Navy?
I spent 2 years active duty, and I spent about 10 to 12 years reserve.
Okay.
That's where I started, really, as a Maryland Naval Shipyard. And the chief I was working with, he was my journeyman. He encouraged me to join the Navy, because that was the time then people were getting drafted. And I thought, I get in the Navy and I can do what I want to do. Since I'm working on submarines, let's go, you know, join a submarine unit. And I'll be on submarines. And when I come back, then I'll be a little more educated.
Okay. Well, what got you here?
Well, what got me here is my aunt called me up. I was down in San Diego, living down there, Pam and I were, and she was working at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot, and I was doing and I was doing piecemeal work. I had my own little business down there, installing fans and that type of thing, and I got a call from my aunt, and she said, would you like to buy the house up in City of Shasta Lake? And I says, you bet, because I'd spent a lot of time up there with my aunt and uncle in City of Shasta Lake when I was a young lad. And I jumped on the thing of buying the house, and then when my wife came home, I said, hey, hon, we bought a house today. And she says, where? I says, City of Shasta Lake. She says, that's too hot. I says, no, it's dry climate, and you'll love it.
Dry climate. You know what? If I hear dry climate one more time, dry climate just means is that it preserves your body a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Steve, how long have you been? Are you a Reading resident?
I'm not a resident, but
a hometown boy?
Well, I was raised in Cottonwood.
That's almost hometown.
Yeah, almost hometown. Worked for Anderson Fire for several years and then came to Reading.
Okay.
In the 90s.
So if you're from Cottonwood, you must be a member of the militia then, right?
Oh, I have some neighbors that are. they protect my house very well.
What got you into firefighting?
I was exposed to firefighting in high school. Through an ROP program, gained some more interest in it, went straight to Shasta College, went through the Fire Academy, and then got a degree. I was fortunate enough to get hired locally here and stayed local ever since.
What do you think about, these fires? I mean, we thought 2 years ago that, the fires in California were so horrendous. And here now, we've set new records, from what I understand. It's historical.
Yes.
The fires that are burning here. What's your best estimate? I mean, does it go back? I mean, you can say, the climate is warming up for whatever reason. Okay, I can go along with that. But what is these fires that are so horrendous? Is it because of forest management or non-forest management? What do you think? This is from you. You're a firefighter.
All right.
And this is your personal thoughts. You're not speaking for the Reading.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought process behind this. It takes me back to the early, about 94, 95. I don't know if you remember. We had the Fountain Fire.
That was before me.
Okay.
But I've heard about it.
It went through Round Mountain all the way over to Bernie.
Right.
And I was a firefighter on an engine. It was one of my first fires. And some of the older ranchers that we were protecting their land came up to me and asked me, hey, let me tell you how this is going to work. Because for years, the Indians managed this land, and they allowed small fires to clear the underbrush on it. And ever since, it's going to go over this hill. It's going to stop right here, right before the mill. And I go, no, this is a wind-driven fire. I went through a lot of classes to learn where this fire is going to end up. And they go, let me tell you where it's going to end up. The Indians managed this land for years, and it's going to end right there at that ridge. And the fire ended right there at that ridge.
It was
managed before.
Right.
And unfortunately, it gets into the tops of the trees, and it carries through it goes back to management of it. And we compound it with some people moving into the wooded areas that were not lived in before. And our priority is life and property. And so if there's a house at the end of the road on 500 acres, our first priority is to save their lives and to get those people out.
And to save their house.
And then save their house.
Right.
And then save the forest. It's very important that when we get those, even if it's an evacuation notice or a possible evacuation, if you work with us and evacuate and give us the chance to check that off our box, that box off, that there is no life threatened, then we can work on saving your house a lot sooner. But when we're spending our time evacuating people, I did it on the car fire. The car fire, I evacuated. I was spending resources on the car fire, getting people out of their houses. And they were obviously fighting us. And they don't understand that those resources that are evacuating you, be it police and fire, they can help with the fire conditions if they would just, when you get your notice, leave as soon as you
just
can.
Just go. Come on, guys. We don't want to have to send our people out there to get you, to fight you out of there, because it could cost lives for our people, and it could cost your life. Now, the people I know that evacuated, they had no problem with it. The fire had jumped the river in the car fire down there off of a snow in that area. Where we lost a firefighter during that time. Steve, let's talk of fire. What is the county doing to mitigate I think there's a lawsuit against the county because the there was some kind of memorandum that was signed that said that they were going to be clearing the property, clearing, you know, fire breaks and all this.
Well, I know that we signed a agreement with County Fire and Cal Fire to enforce the 100-foot clearance around
right.
houses. And that's an important piece of legislation because we just talked about that. If
yeah.
the people that are living out in these areas that shouldn't be out there in the middle of a forest and they allow the forest to encroach on their home, then when the fire approaches, it's going to be a miserable time trying to get those houses saved. And well, a lot of times you can't because that fire is going to get up there and it's going to go into that house and everything else if you got too much vegetation all around your house.
Well, what's the county doing now? Is the county actively? I know that I've seen the city bring in herds of goats, which actually works.
Right.
Is the county doing anything?
Well, right now it's not up to the county. It's up to the fire wardens and that type of thing to go out and inspect the various areas. And a lot of these areas belong to the federal government. And those folks out there have their own priority on how to manage the forest.
I understand that, but there is private land out there in the county. And I was just wondering, does the county have a clearing policy?
The clearing policy is 100 feet from your house.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the brush clear. Keep all the vegetation down as you can. Keep the limbs from up. At least, I think, 8 feet?
Yes.
Something like that, so that you don't, you know, have a ladder fire. And, you know, keep the vegetation down.
Okay.
I mean, like it's explained, you know, the firefighters, they've got better things to do than
go out. Yeah, but I think everybody agrees, even Newsom, and that he's agreeing with everybody that we need to get this ladder fuel gone. And we have people running, at the national level and the state level, pushing the idea of getting clearing, thinning, and managing our forest again, like our Native Americans did back when they controlled the land.
Right.
So,
well, I agree. The Indians handled fire very well. They allowed the fire to go underneath, and they would put it out after a certain period of time. And what it would do is when the new growth came in, you would have animals would have their feed and everything else, and they would also have certain plants that the Indians used for their food. And so it was well done. But
okay.
We don't do that anymore. We allow everything to grow over, and money, they say, is the big cause of not being able to keep our forest clear the way it should be.
Well, this is kind of above our pay grade right here, except for...
yeah.
You know, in our county and in our city, you know, like I said, I see the city getting goats out to clear land.
Right.
And the REU has been able to bring in more firefighters to clear, to do almost a fire break around the city via the between their stations or their lines. So that's helped. And I think you all from REU got 12 firefighters.
Yes.
That must have helped.
It's a good program. And then during the summertime, obviously, as you see, there's smoke out in the air, and those individuals aren't out with chainsaws mitigating fuel.
No.
They are on our fire engines,
yeah.
And we're sending them.
Yeah,
most of them are staying in town, but some of them had to go out of the area to help out others.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Becky, we'll get to you. And 8:32 in the morning, 62 degrees out there. The air quality index, I believe, is still unhealthy today. It's not dangerous. It's just unhealthy. If you've got asthma or a lung condition, you may want to think about staying inside. Steve's raised his hand. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Let me tell you, after the last fires, people lost their home insurance. When they did, Judy Maxwell was able to help them. They came to Judy, and she got their home insurance back, and they didn't have to pay impossible policies to just get the homeowner's insurance, which includes fire insurance. You can give her a call at 221-0441. You know, Judy's been doing this since 1993, both insurance and financial management. She's not a newbie at this, and she has a really well-trained staff. They all are out there to help their customers, to help their friends. Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
Baby, once I thought I knew everything I needed to know about you here. Sweet whisper, your tender touch. But I didn't really know that much. Joke's on me, it's gonna be okay. I can just get through this lonesome day.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Today, 9-11, 19 years ago today, we were waking up to a disaster on the East Coast, an attack by terrorists. First strike back against terrorism was this day also. when Flight 93 voted. I love this. You know, this is America. We're voting if we're going to go attack these guys. You know what? Yeah, we're going to go get them. And then they attacked them with drink carts. They boiled water, you know, for coffee, throwing it in the faces of them, and fist fighting and clubs and all this. And the terrorists panicked and crashed the plane, of course, into Pennsylvania. We're here with Steve Morgan and Steve Tompkins. Steve is a captain in the Reading Fire Department, and we're kind of talking about the memories of, you know, where y'all sent a color guard back.
Yes.
Right after 9/11 to help with the funerals. And you think about this. How many firefighters or first responders, well, first firefighters died that day?
Well, it was a little under 350-something, but all total first responders were over 400.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's go to the phones. Becky, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on. You're live.
Hi. I just wanted to first say thank you to the firefighter for his service. My husband was a firefighter, and I know how it is to be out there sleeping in the cold and the dirt when you're working on fires like that. So thank you.
We appreciate your support.
Yes, of course. But I had a question for Steve Morgan. I was wondering, Steve, if you'd be willing to have a live debate with Patrick Henry Jones.
Can you hear?
Not well.
Oh, hang on.
Not well.
How about now? Say it again, Becky. I turned up his earphones here.
I was wondering if Steve would have a live debate with Patrick Henry Jones.
She asked if you would have a debate with Patrick Henry Jones.
Well, right now I've got a forum going on Tuesday, and that's what I'm preparing for. And maybe sometime down the road, a long time, I don't know. We'll see.
So are you willing to have a debate with Jones?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. That's all I can say for right now.
Okay. Is anything else, Becky?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Jesse, good morning. Jesse, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This question is for Steve Morgan. We know each other well. After speaking recently, Steve, you are not for opening up the county. You know, there's a lot of businesses being put out of business right now and going out. And your comment to me was that, and our governor tells us it's okay to open up, then you think it would be safe to open up. Does that also include Sierra Pacific and Red Emerson that you accepted money from and who is also helping to run your campaign?
Red Emerson is not running my campaign. And
are employees of Sierra Pacific working on your campaign team?
Private contractor.
And did you take a donation? And did you take a donation from Sierra Pacific?
I'm accepting donations from a lot of different people. It's just like Mr. Jones is accepting a donation from El Salmo, a $100,000 donation.
Well, Mr. Jones is willing to debate you on this. But why do you not find it necessary for our county to open up? Why do you think...
Well, I'm not going to get in the weeds there. I gave you some information, I think, on an email there. I don't know, what, about a week or so ago, Jesse?
Yeah. And, did you say you would not open up until Jones says you would open or until Newsom says you would open up?
I think we have
yes
opened
no
up.
Question.
I think we have
no,
opened up.
No, we haven't
up.
Opened up fully. It's a yes or no question. Us people are tired of getting the runaround.
No, I'm not going to debate with you on this thing.
Sounds like you don't want to debate with anyone, Steve.
No,
okay,
no,
Jesse,
that's not
thanks
true.
Thanks a lot, or, Jesse. Jesse is just a representative of many people, as you know, they're upset.
And I'm not going to get in the woods on something like that. I mean, this is, a debate over the phone. I mean,
right.
That's not right.
No.
I don't think so. And I don't think I didn't come on here to, get with debates with people on the phone. I came here to talk about 9/11. Because that's important to me. The real importance to me is yesterday was my anniversary, fourth anniversary of my losing my house the day before 9/11. And that sticks in my memory, you know, along with those folks that lost their lives back east.
You mean were you in one of the fires out of Shasta Lake?
Yeah. We lost two houses and one double-wide trailer.
Was this the car fire? Or?
No, this was a separate fire. A guy ran into the bushes, started a fire. My house was consumed in less than 10 minutes. The bushes were about 200 yards away. It started a fire, and away we went. So this is important to me on 9/11.
Well, as you can imagine, people are just, people have they're very frustrated, and they feel like the governor doesn't understand that the impact that his decisions are making. Now, when we say we've opened up Shasta County, are there? It's still
we haven't opened it up completely, but right. We have opened it up more than what we were. And we have to go by the advice from the Health and Human Services and use that. I look around this town and that, and I think we're doing a good business. I've seen a lot of businesses that have reopened. They've restaffed. We've also put out the CARES Act. We put out the money to the Reading Chamber of Commerce to distribute that money to businesses that have five employees or grant money.
I think they're coming back to you for more.
Well, they could be. We've got a little more we can give.
Well, I think that's what Jake Manga said. He said, we're going to go back to Shasta County and try and get you all to double that amount.
That's fine. Well, hey, no problem with that. In fact, Griff's Steakhouse, which is, if you've ever had a hamburger down there, he was one of the first recipients.
The burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have. I feel honored that I've been insulted.
You and me both.
Yeah, but you know what? If he knows you, stand by. Don't ever go in there with a policeman, though.
Or a fireman.
Or a fireman. You just stand there and hang your head. Or go in with them because you're probably safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's got the biggest amount of condiments there for your hamburger that I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. I tell you what, this is 9/11, but I'm inviting you back on the show next week to come in and let's talk about the election. Let's talk about things like the Rancheria, about the vote or the letter that was sent to the Rancheria, sent opposing the Rancheria building the casino. I'd like to know your reasoning behind your opposition for it and the impact that's had or that could have on our county and in jobs and money. And there's other questions too, so I'm inviting you back for next week. And I will, I'll clear an hour for you. So anytime that you can come back.
Well, I'll take a look at my calendar, and if it's possible, no problem there.
Well, then if it's not next week, we'll do it week after.
Right.
What I'm saying, Steve, is this.
I know.
We need to discuss the election, and I'm willing to go back. Let's talk 9/11 today, but I'm willing to make any day available to have you come on and let's talk.
I appreciate that.
Well, it's only fair because I've had Jones on, and we've talked about it, and I've asked him questions. How do you figure you're going to do this? And I need to talk about decisions you've made because the county supervisor is a big job.
Oh yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's not a one person.
I know. It takes three.
It takes three.
But when I, okay. And like I said, today we'll work out of time to have you back on. So we're going to take a break here. And this portion of the show, you're talking about caregivers, is Shasta Regional Medical Center. Are we going to lose Steve?
Well, we might.
Okay. Steve Tompkins, who's actually got a job. And
the other Steve.
The other Steve. The other Steve's actually got a job. And we're just going to have to head out here. But you know what? Steve, thank you so much for what you and our fellow first responders do. Sometimes, it's easy to make, to say things, but when there's danger, it's you guys heading toward the danger while you're rescuing people trying to get them out of there. And we so much appreciate it.
Well, I just really appreciate the support in the community. We have some of the best community in the whole world.
It is.
And we really feel their support. So thank you.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, another group that's out there helping people all the time. They're on the cutting edge when it comes to surgery, when they brought in the Da Vinci surgical system in there, which results in less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. They don't have to crack chest open or open up your body. They can just go in with wire K cameras and be able to handle things in a much, much less intrusive way. Also, Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the highest rated hospitals in America for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. All of this at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. We'll be right back with Steve Morton.
You call love, but confess you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor. District 4.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number if you want to talk about 9/11 today. We've got like about 7 minutes left. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Siskiyou Transport, or SST Oil, has been in the business here in Reading since 1967. And not only did they move fuel and other petroleum products around the whole western United States, they are out there on the front lines with our first responders, with our firefighters, making sure they've got the fuel to be able to fight the fires, you know, with the trucks, jet fuel for the aircraft, everything that they need. They're running three or four trucks 24 hours a day to help support the firefighting efforts. And that's SST Oil. They're always looking for good employees. It's an employee-owned company. You can give them a call at 241-1167. Okay, I'm here with Steve Morgan, Shasta County Supervisor for District 4. He's running for re-election. This last segment, we're going to talk about 9/11. Steve's going to come back maybe next week.
Maybe.
Or the week after.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up every hour for you, so we'll find a time for you to come back to talk about the election. I think that's fair.
I appreciate that, because today is a special day for me, and so was yesterday. I mean, you know, when you go through that and you see all everybody else's houses have burned and that, it brings back a lot of bad memories about your own dwelling. And then every time that you get evacuated, which during the fires up north, we were evacuated a couple different times, and it doesn't bring back pleasant memories. I'll put it that way. That's the best way to put it.
It seems that, and this is at the state level and the federal level, that there's so much more that could be done.
There is. That's true.
In your case, it was somebody that drove off the road and hit I guess, a bush in front of your house?
No, it was down about 200 yards down from south from the house, but it was there was so much brush and that type of thing, it didn't take long, and it was wind picked it up. And my house was gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah. So that's what you hear when the car fire came sweeping through here. Now, 9/11, I talked about it at the beginning. It started a war that is still going on today.
That's correct.
People don't realize that we're still losing soldiers and Marines and airmen to this day. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, they just pulled out about 2,200 troops, as Trump said he was going to get out of there. That war is still going on, and it doesn't have the intensity. But anytime you're in war for 18 years, it has a tendency to lose its intensity.
Well, you know, Carl, you know, those wars and that over there, they've been going on since biblical times. I mean, one nation has been fought another nation, and it's just kind of a carryover. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we'll ever get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like we're permanently.
You know, I never thought I'd see Israel having diplomatic relations with part of the Arab nations out there, and yet they have.
They have.
And now there's others that are opening up, too, to Israel. We've got a question about 9/11 or a statement. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to bring attention to the Antifa people moving down through this area. People want to keep an eye on them here because what happened up there is talent and Phoenix up there, that was they're looking real suspicious of the Antifa people setting those things on fire up there and burning up those mobile home parks.
Okay. I don't know if there's any hard proof on that, but
not yet, but they got six people in custody right now up there, and but we were watching it on the internet, and the fires as they were starting up there, and they said, "Oh, there's another fire behind that building. There's another one over here, starting them all over up and down the area." And there, they caught two people up there. You know, like I said, they got six of them, according to the news, but they had six people in custody right now.
Wow. Well, you know, it's something else that I saw from another thing that said if you see strangers or strange cars, maybe out of state license plates, you might want to take a look at it.
Yeah, and you got to keep a close eye on them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, thanks, Jim.
Otherwise, we could have the same thing here in Ready.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Terry, we only got like a minute and a half. If you got something about 9/11, right?
I do. I'm trying to figure out the parallel, talking about 9/11. We all lost friends and tragic time. We all should come together as a country. But what is Steve Morgan's tragedy, which was a tragedy, have to do with 9/11? And why is he your co-host?
He's not my co-host.
Well, I'm just curious
he's a guest.
We have an election coming, and why? Yeah, just curious.
He'll be back on next week, and we'll have all.
He said he won't. He said he's going
to
do his
schedule. Let me answer that, Carl.
Okay.
Okay, my house burned down the day before 9/11, all right?
Okay.
Everybody figured that I wouldn't be at the memorial for the 9/11, but I did show up and I put on a happy face, and that's how I relate to the 9/11. I mean,
I'm sure everybody has stories.
Yes, they do, and that's one of my stories.
Just curious. That's all.
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah.
Like I said, we need to discuss the election, and Steve's going to come back on the show, and then it's opened up. So we got like about a minute left, buddy. What do you have, you know, to finish up with?
Well, what I have is I think people need to unite like we did when 9/11 happened. I mean, we need to get rid of some of these protests that people are burning down buildings. They're smashing up businesses, just basically causing hell all over the place. And I think we need to come together. I think we need to use a little prayer. We need to have our pastors and that. They need to have a little bit more say and maybe what's going on.
Our churches are... Well, we got to run. Our churches still aren't open yet.
Yes, they are.
Well, partially open.
Well, they're open.
Partially open.
They're open.
Well, I walk okay, everybody, it's 9/11. Take a good thought today, like we talked about earlier, about, you know, our country stood together then. And this is a great country. Maybe it's time to stand back today and just kind of like everybody take a deep breath and think about what happened that day and how our country pulled together after 9/11 and where we are now. You know, think about it before we put something on Facebook or say something to somebody.